It's good seeing everybody this morning. If you would go ahead, open up your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to be again in Ephesians chapter 6. So last night, I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to go, if you went to see a fireworks show or anything like that. We ended up being at home, and so what we did, we just kind of walked outside and just sat on the back, the tailgate of my truck, and we just kind of watched and listened as our neighbors were shooting fireworks and all kinds of stuff going on. It was one of the most surreal times, and I don't know what it is, and it could be, I think it probably is because of the coronavirus, that, and somebody has said that more people will be shooting fireworks from home this year than ever before. But I think somewhere, and I missed the memo, but I think all the fireworks shops were doing some kind of special buy one, get 50,000 free. I think that's kind of what was happening, because it was nonstop for hours and hours. It started before it got dark. I don't know what they're looking at. They're like, ooh, you couldn't see anything, but it was going off, and it went even past 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. It just kept going. But we watched for hours as our neighbors were shooting things off, but it wasn't just in front of us. It was to the sides of us, coming up everywhere, behind us, fireworks going off everywhere. Some of them were so big that it would just shake you and shake the house. I mean, that's how big and strong those fireworks were. And the whole time I'm thinking, how much did that cost? I don't know why. That's just what's coming to my mind. But I was just, it was overwhelming. It was so loud, overstimulating. I mean, it was a lot. But as I was sitting there, I would close my eyes and I pictured in my mind what it must have been like to be in the middle of a war. And that's very similar. All the fireworks going off and the booms and the loud noises going off nonstop. Sounds like guns going off. I mean, it was intense. I thought there have been people all through history that have spent years, and that's what they've heard every single day in the middle of a war or a battle. And then I was reminded, we too are in the middle of a battle. Matter of fact, every day we are in a battle. Now, it may not be a physical battle many times, but we are in a spiritual battle, and our enemy wants to take us out, and that's Satan. And so we're going to continue our series this morning, Fight the Good Fight. As Paul was encouraging Timothy to fight the good fight of the faith, that the enemy was on the prowl, that Satan was doing a work trying to pull us away from what God has for us. It is a spiritual battle against spiritual forces, and we are involved in it ourselves every single day, whether we want to or not, whether we believe it or not, we are in a spiritual battle. So again, open up your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to move forward in our series as we continue to talk about the armor of God. The armor of God. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 15 this morning. And if you're able, would you stand as we read God's word this morning? God's word in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13, here's what God's word says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for your word, our prayer. Holy Spirit, move and work in us, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember last week, we started talking about the armor of God. So we read in Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Listen, we read about this battle that we are in, this fight that is before it. Listen, we win the war, we know that, but these battles that rage against us every single day, we are in this spiritual battle. And if you read just verse 12, it is very daunting, very overwhelming. So God, in his wisdom and omnipotence and love and grace, has given us something that can help us and really help us be victorious on a daily basis. And And we've been talking through that. It's the armor of God. And so last week we talked about the belt of truth. I don't know if you remember the belt of truth, how essential it was to stand upon the truth as the world is twisting the truth around us, trying to say that there is no truth. Can I say, if we're going to stand against the devil and his schemes, we need to know the truth. Listen, if you want to know what is counterfeit, you need to know what is real, and God's word, truth, is real. And so we stand upon the truth. Also, we recognize that the belt of truth kind of is that centerpiece of everything. So everything else kind of attaches around it or is in kind of connected to it. So truth is very important. So now we move on to the next two. We're going to talk about two pieces of armor this morning as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes on our feet, the readiness of the feet of the gospel of peace. And so very interesting as we talk about the importance of this breastplate of righteousness and also the shoes that we wear. So we're going to kind of walk through this a little bit. So if you have your notes, you can go online to our website and you can pull up the notes for this morning. You can go on the Bible app and pull up the notes from the live tab on the Bible app. So you can also get it there, or you can use a QR code if you want to go back out in the foyer and be able to scan that. But as we walk through this, kind of keep your hand on this passage, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at different passages, but really everything's centered around these verses of these two pieces of armor. And so the first one is this. It's the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, to stand against the enemy, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. So let's talk a little bit this morning about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, for a soldier during that time, the breastplate was a very important piece of armor for them. And so if you could just visualize and picture what this may look like, it's a big piece of metal, or it is thick leather that drapes around a soldier. And in the front, it covers their front, probably going down towards their thigh, and in the back, going all the way down, covering their back all the way down to their thigh. So it was a long piece of protection that they would put on. So the breastplate of that they would put on is a vital piece of the armor. Listen, nobody wants to be vulnerable in this area. So I call it your heart and your innards. And that's very important. Nobody wanted to lose their heart or their innards. Listen, that's where, that's kind of the life is in them. And so it was important to cover them. So in cases of sword fights or spears or whatever, anything sharp, it would keep them from being able to penetrate at the place that would cause them to lose their life. Now, speaking in a spiritual sense and why Paul would use this idea of breastplate is this. Then, for many that during this time, they believed that the heart and the innards, I really don't know all that's inside. I didn't really study very well on that, but when I was in college. But the innards and the heart, listen, that was where the deep-seated emotions and will and everything, happiness and all those things were hidden in that deep-seated place of the heart. So it was like the center of every kind of emotion and who they were. So the heart was vital and very important. I mean, the heart's vital and important to us today. But for Paul, he was painting a picture. Listen, we are in this spiritual battle every day, and Satan wants to attack, and there's no greater place to attack for Satan than your heart. If he can get a hold of your heart, then he can draw you away from the Lord and take you down a path that you never thought you would ever go. And so Paul is saying, listen, put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is a piece of armor that will protect your emotions and your joy and your happiness, everything that's in there. It will protect you, and you'll be able to stand against the devil. So it says breastplate, but it says breastplate of righteousness. So spiritually, what does that mean for you and for me? So I want to look at two things about the breastplate of righteousness, and I hope it gives us some understanding of what this means and how we're able to stand with this armor of God against the devil's schemes. Well, one is this. We stand on the righteousness provided through our gracious Savior. We stand on the righteousness that has been provided by our gracious Savior. So this term righteousness, that Paul is talking about that you may have heard. If you spend any time coming to church, you hear that word righteousness quite a bit. It really just simply means this, being made right. We are made right before God. And so when it talks about this righteousness that's provided by Jesus, it just simply means this. You are made right with God, not because you are anything special or have great talents or anything like that. You're made right with God because of your relationship with Jesus. So we are provided a righteousness that comes from our relationship with our Jesus and with our Heavenly Father. We're made right with God. Listen, this is important piece of our life and of our faith to know that we are made right with God. And this comes from a genuine and authentic relationship with Jesus. Now, there's a word for this. It's called imputed. It's imputed righteousness is what it is referring to. Now, when Paul talks about this breastplate of righteousness, I believe this is the essential one he's talking about. I believe this is the main way that we stand strong against the devil's schemes. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So when we talk about imputed righteousness, what has been provided to us is this. Listen, freely God gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. And in relationship with Him, we are made right with God. This is nothing that you have done on your own merit, but this is what God has done for us. So we have imputed righteousness. Is that when God sees us, He doesn't see our sin, He sees Jesus in His blood. Listen, that's an incredible gift we have in God. And this is important because when we stand against the devil's schemes, there is nothing greater than the blood of Jesus. And so when he looks at us and he tries to tear us away, when he tries to fill your mind with guilt and with shame, when he fills your mind with all these regrets, listen, you can stand strong knowing that it's not the devil who gives you your identity, but it's Jesus. And that's who we listen to. So we have this imputed righteousness. Now, last night, I don't know if you guys have done this, but we sat down, and I say as a family, my kids, yeah, they lost interest in about an hour after, well, some after about 10 minutes. But we watched Hamilton on Disney Plus, and I don't know if you've watched that, but so we watched Hamilton, and very interesting. I don't know a lot about Alexander Hamilton. I really didn't. Again, I didn't study all that much when I was in school. So I looked it up. I kind of read up on Alexander Hamilton. He did quite a bit for our country, one of our founding fathers. But here's what's interesting about Alexander Hamilton. He actually was raised, he was an orphan, but he was raised in church. Matter of fact, by the time he got to college, his roommate actually said this about him, is that he spent evenings and mornings on his knees before God. That's what it said. But somewhere between his college years and when he started working and this whole founding father kind of thing and the revolution and secretary of treasury or something like that, all these things that he began to accomplish, somewhere along the lines, God became more of something on the sidelines than a part of his life. So he turned into a deist, which means this. Yeah, God exists, but he is not active in our life. So he put God on the sideline of his life. And if you watch Hamilton, what you'll find is a pretty consistent stream of unethical, maybe immoral choices in his life. And you see that in his life. And it spiraled him out of many opportunities that he had in his life as his life spiraled out of control. Eventually, later on in life, probably around when he lost his life, he realized what he had done, and they say historically that he allowed, you know, he really gave his life back to God and allowed God, wanted God to work in his life. But somewhere along the lines, God became impersonal, and he just became someone off in the distance, still there, but not working. So here's what happens with us as people, and this is where Satan has a heyday. Is when we as people recognize that we have a creator God who loves us, and we have this, that he has imputed this righteousness in our life that through Jesus Christ, but we have allowed him to just sit on the side. We've pushed him off into the sidelines, and now he becomes just a distant God. And we think that we can just begin to take this all up on our own, and we can go back on our own power and strength. Listen, Satan begins to have a heyday with that. So listen, this truth is that we have this imputed righteousness. We have this righteousness provided by God. But I think Paul is beginning to talk even more about this breastplate of righteousness. Not just the righteousness that has been provided, but listen, but there's also a righteousness that is produced through the Holy Spirit and through a life of obedience. So when we talk about putting on the armor of God, we talk about this breastplate of righteousness that comes from God and that never changes. But in our life, as we obediently follow after God, as we obediently follow Him, listen, what happens is this righteousness is it grows and it matures in our life, and we follow Him and we are transformed into who God wants us to be. So listen, this is twofold for us. This is a righteousness that is given, but it's also a righteousness that is produced through the Holy Spirit. Look, listen to what Scripture says when we talk about this life produced. Ephesians talks about this. It says this: to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's speaking of putting on a new self. Listen, a new creation in God. So not just what God provides for us, but also how we grow in Him in obedience. Ephesians also tells us this in chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. You see, there is a twofold part here of this righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness. One, we stand because of what God has provided, but we also stand by what is produced in a life that is obedient, the Holy Spirit working in our life. Both are vital as we stand against the devil's schemes. But here's, I want to pause just for a second. But here's where we have to be careful. Because sometimes we can take just the imputed righteousness and we can run with it. We can say, I'm good. I'm good to go for the rest of my life. And sometimes we can push over the imputed righteousness, the righteousness that comes through Jesus, and we can just start saying, I can make this work on my own. And I'm going to be better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to work harder so that I can be a better person, and I'm going to withstand Satan on my own. Listen, I want you to hear today that each is very important, that you can't have one without the other. So we have this righteousness that comes from relationship with Jesus. But listen, with that, it means that we're going to obediently follow Him. It goes hand in hand, and we need both if we're going to stand against the devil's scheme. So when Paul talks about the breastplate of righteousness, that's what he's saying, put on. Put on what Jesus has gotten for you, and then put on an obedient life so that you can withstand what Satan throws out at you. So the breastplate of righteousness. So I just want to encourage you with this. If you are today feeling like there's regret and there's guilt, there's shame, or whatever may be in your life today, listen, take on the breastplate of righteousness, because Satan is attacking. And put on the breastplate of righteousness in your life, given, and also the ones that's produced through obedient life, and stand strong. Because God is big. All right, so let's move on. So we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. So what else does this verse say? It goes on, it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I love this passage. I love when it starts talking about the gospel. Listen, to stand against the enemy, not only do we have to have the breastplate of righteousness, but also we must put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Listen, we're in a war. We're in a battle. And so peace is vital. So let's look at what this passage says, and let's pull out some words here that I think are important for us to understand. One is gospel. I want you to circle that and underline it as you talk about these this armor that is on us. Gospel is important. And what is the gospel? It's the good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died on the cross for you and me, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sin, resurrected on the third day, and now he is alive. Listen, that is the gospel, the good news. Listen, Ephesians 2 talks about that. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So the gospel is important, but it goes on. It says other things on here. It talks about shoes. And then it relates the shoes to readiness. So think about this. So you have for the soldier, you have the breastplate that comes over, it protects the heart. You know, right off the bat, we could say, yeah, that's pretty important. But shoes? I mean, Paul, what shoes? You're talking about shoes. Now, let me just ask you, can you imagine being in a war or a battle and not having any shoes on? Listen, shoes are important. You wouldn't be able to maneuver. You wouldn't be able to run. You wouldn't be able to run away. You wouldn't be able to run. You wouldn't be able to do it without shoes. Listen, I stood outside watching fireworks just for a few hours with no shoes on. I come in, and I'm like, my feet are burning. They're hurting. Listen, you have to have shoes. Shoes are important. We have shoes for everything in our life, different things, hiking, running, climbing, biking. We have shoes for everything. Listen, shoes are vital, and they were a vital part for the soldier. But here's the interesting thing about shoes. The shoes were important because when you have your shoes on, you are always ready. When you have your shoes on, you're ready to go. Listen, Amy and I, we try to walk in the mornings and get some exercise in. And, you know, when she's ready to go, she knows. She'll look at me. If I don't have my shoes on, I'm not ready to go. And so I got to get my shoes on. When you get your shoes on, it means you're ready. So listen, when you got the gospel, when you have the gospel, then you're ready to stand. When you hold on to the gospel, then you're ready to fight. And so this is what Paul is talking about. When you have the gospel of peace in your life, you're able to withstand what Satan is throwing out at you. So what does this mean? Listen, we are ready or we are prepared. That word can be translated either way. Listen, we stay prepared and ready by experiencing the gospel personally. So I want to encourage you today, if you've never experienced the gospel personally, if you never asked Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never taken hold of the good news, listen, you can't withstand Satan and his attacks if you don't have the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't have Jesus in your life. Listen, we all are in need of Jesus. And so experience it personally. I love the story of the man that was born blind. Remember the disciples said, you know, Master, what did his parents do for him to be blind? You remember that? And so what does Jesus do? He gives him mud and he is able to see. Well, it ends up, people are wondering what happened. You know, how did he get his eyesight back? He gets questioned. And his answer about Jesus is this. In John 9:25, he answered this. He said, whether he is a sinner, talking about Jesus, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. You know what that means? He experienced Jesus. Can I just say that if we want to withstand the devil's attacks, then we have to be able to say with full confidence, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I am found. Have you experienced the gospel personally? But listen, if we're going to be ready to go, if we're going to be ready to fight Satan, listen, we got to be prepared and ready by understanding what the gospel means and understanding it clearly. Listen, it is simple to give your life to Jesus. Listen, we read scripture and we know even children can understand the gospel to an extent. But listen, there are depths of the gospel that are revealed to us as we study and as we learn. The gospel is enough for children to trust, but it's as deep for a theologian to still ask questions. Listen, the gospel is big and wide, but listen, we have to understand and understand it clearly. Why? Because there is a world today that wants to throw out the gospel and replace it with whatever feels right. There's a world today that says Jesus isn't the only way. There's a world today that says take the wide gate, not the narrow. Listen, there's a world today that distorts the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand and know it clearly. Why? So that we can speak and proclaim the gospel. You know, Scripture tells us about being prepared, that we need to understand. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Listen, we have to understand the gospel. We have to experience the gospel. If we want to withstand Satan's attacks, both those things hand in hand have to be a part of our life. Having our feet ready with these shoes, the gospel of peace in our life. When I was thinking about this sermon, I'll be honest with you, I was very tempted to change what I was going to do this Sunday, because it was 4th of July. You know, whenever you do some kind of sermon on a holiday, you kind of relate it to the holiday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever it may be. Sometimes you do that. So as I was kind of thinking through what would be a great message for the 4th of July, I kept coming back to the armor of God, and I thought, you know, as I looked at those two pieces of armor, the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace, I thought, I don't know if there's any two pieces of armor or two words that could better describe freedom than righteousness and peace. And I want you to hear that today. I mean, we talk about freedom and we celebrate our freedom that we have in our country, but listen, there is no greater freedom than being made right with God. There's no greater freedom than for Him to be able to forgive our sin and to be able to have right standing with a holy God who loves us and cares for us. There's no greater feeling and freedom of knowing that we no longer have to be held captive by the bondage of sin in our life. And listen, there's no greater freedom than experiencing peace in the midst of a storm because of the gospel. We're all going to experience storms. We're all going to experience difficult times. And listen, Satan is going to try to do a work where he's going to try to fill your head and your heart with guilt and with shame. He's going to fill it with regret, with bitterness. Listen, he's going to do whatever he can to bring that storm to a head in your life to where you begin to question and begin to doubt. Listen, the gospel of peace can change your life. And so when we talk about freedom, there's no greater freedom than standing before God in the blood of Jesus. And there is no greater freedom than knowing that we can withstand the flaming darts of the devil with the peace of Jesus Christ. And so today, I just want to encourage you. We kind of walk through pretty quickly two pieces of armor that are vital and important in our life today. But I don't want them just to be a theological term or just something you check off as a part of our life. Listen, I want it to be real in your life. And I want us all to be able to walk out of these doors knowing that no matter what happens around me, no matter the circumstances, no matter what's being said or what's being done, I can rest knowing that I am who God says I am, and I can be strong and bold and withstand the evil darts of Satan, and then I can have peace even in the midst of a storm, knowing that Jesus died for me. I pray that these pieces of armor are real in your life, that you put them on, as Paul talks about, put them on so that you can stand. Remember, we're not talking necessarily about a physical battle or physical war, but Satan is attacking our hearts and our minds, and may we stand strong with the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace. Will you bow your heads? Father, we thank you. Thank you for loving us and caring for us, being gracious to us, because we, Father, we know that we don't deserve it. There's not a single person in here that can do this on their own, God. Only you can do this. So in your strength and in your righteousness, God, may we withstand Satan's attacks. May we stand strong in these evil days. Father, help us equip our lives with your armor. And may we be ready at all times to experience the gospel and to share the gospel. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.